You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Call him every trash EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Happy Tuesday! The 26th day of March, 2024. It is DNR yet again. Dan and Rick, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. On a CMT Tuesday, among other things, we've got our pals Ray, we've got RJ. Good morning, Richard. How the hell are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Daniel. How you doing today?
Oh, you look fantastic. You sound fantastic. If I could be as half as fantastic as you today, I think we'll have some fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's very nice of you to say on this Tuesday morning.
Well, why wouldn't I say that? What, do you think I'm BSing you? You think I'm talking out of my you-know-what? I wouldn't do that to you.
Whatever it is, I like it. Keep it up.
You like it.
I like it.
You like that start to the show. That's good. How was your how was your Monday? What did you consume? Because, you know, it's funny. We got off the air, I don't know, what, 20 hours ago, and there have a lot of things that have transpired since then. So what have you been up to?
There have been a lot of things that transpired. I mean, Knicks number one on the agenda. And, you know, it feels good. Are you clapping right now?
Clapping for the Knicks, yeah.
Yeah, it feels good to root for a team and love a team that did what we talked about yesterday. Don't mess around.
Mm-mm.
Let's not have a repeat of what we saw last time we played the Pistons. Get out. Get out early. Take care of business, and that's exactly what they did. So I indulged myself in some of that, and I also sprinkled in some Caitlin Clark. Watched a little Iowa.
And what was the final there? I missed that out because we were doing the Knick game last night.
It was Iowa won. But it was a lot more difficult than I think they thought it probably was going to be. Well, I'll give West Virginia tons of credit. They defended hard. A little bit of a struggle bus for Iowa, but they found a way to get the job done.
So they're now in the Sweet 16, right?
Yes, they are.
So you got the men's tournament, the women's tournament. Everybody's in the Sweet 16. And so onward and upward here for the NCAAs.
Yes, sir.
You know, there's also a common theme that's kind of unfolding. And Ray can back me up on this one. Remember the last time the Knicks played the Pistons? At MSG, remember you had all that Fugazi stuff with some of the whistles at the end of the game, and you had Monty Williams throw a tirade after the game that Detroit got hosed by the officials, and you know they should have had a better fade, and maybe he had a little bit of a gripe. Okay,
yeah.
Last night though, when his team didn't even show up, or at least the guys that they had in uniform didn't even show up, he's going to go up there and then start belly aching and crying over the fact that Dante DiVincenzo set a franchise record for most 3-pointers in a game because his team stinks.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, Monty's got to check himself a little bit, don't you think? Because not for nothing, dude. Like, if you want to prevent that stuff from happening, how about, oh, I don't know, maybe play better defense as a team?
Well, that's pretty much what Josh Hart said. You don't want to be part of the story. Defend better. We're going to give the ball. I mean, it's what you do in basketball. This guy gets hot. You find him. That's what they did with Dante. 11 threes, career high 40 points. I got to tell you, too, though, man. Like, he is... What he's been able to do now with this expanded role, and it's funny because some of these games that, you know, the Knicks end up losing, I mean, there's some extra pressure on him now without OG and without Julius Randle to be that kind of that second guy. And when he struggles, I mean, it's hard for the Knicks just because they don't have a lot of offense around Jalen Brunson or guys you can rely on, and Dante's become that guy. So when he has a night like he had last night and the kind of season that he's having for the Knicks right now, Josh Hart had another triple-double. Dude, I mean, this is one of those teams, man. It's hard not to love this team if you're a Knicks fan and be fully invested, fully in with what this team does on a nightly basis.
I agree with you. And I even said last night during the postgame show that what's cool about it, with DiVincenzo now taking on more of the brunt when it comes to scoring, you know, Josh Hart, even though Josh Hart, you're not relying on him so much for offense, but all the other things that he does for this team. What's cool about it is that while these guys are still on the shelf, Randall and OG, it's taken some of the scoring onus off of Jalen Brunson. And you feel like maybe he doesn't have to do as much because, look, you're already not whole as it is. You got 11 games left in the regular season. You want to make sure you get to the playoffs as healthy as possible. And the guys that you still have upright, make sure they're as fresh as possible. So if Brunson even, if you could preserve him even more for him not having to do as much, I think that could help this team in the real season. So this is unbelievable. And, you know, I keep thinking back to DiVincenzo. He was a guy that was signed. Look, second straight offseason. Let's tell it like it is when it comes to Leon Rose. The second straight offseason, his so-called big acquisition, 2 summers ago was Jalen Brunson. Last summer, it was Dante DiVincenzo. He's hit on both of them, right? I mean, he has hit on both of these guys. And DiVincenzo was supposed to be somebody who was coming off of the bench, helped space the floor, hit the occasional three. We weren't really expecting a heck of a lot. Instead, you're talking about somebody that has stepped into the starting lineup, and not that you're expecting 30 points a game from him, but now he is somebody that you expect on a nightly basis to go out there and contribute and do all these things. So give Leon Rose some flowers, don't you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we've done that a lot on the show. Just, I mean, outside of his first foray with the Fourniers and the Kemba Walkers, where it didn't feel like it just that the moves didn't work, didn't fit, right? Like, it didn't feel like Tibbs and Leon were necessarily on the same page, right? Like, that just didn't work out. For him now to go with, I mean, Jalen, trading for Josh Hart, Hartenstein, DiVincenzo, OG, the second he gets, you know, the second you put him in the starting five, it instantly works. Like, everything that Leon Rose has done has worked, and it's worked seamlessly. And it feels like, I mean, he is giving this coaching staff the, you know, the players that they need, the exact kind of players that they need that fit the system. They all buy into it. They all like each other, which I think is, I mean, you've been around enough locker rooms. When you have this kind of legitimate chemistry, like, it's one thing to have close-knit teams. This is different.
Right.
Like what Josh Hart, Brunson, Dante have, like, this is, I say this to Dave all the time, as cool as it was playing in the NHL, and it was the coolest, you know, it was the coolest experience of my life, the closest locker rooms that I ever had were in college. My first year of college, my only year of college. And then there was a team in the AHL with Bridgeport that we had that was like this. When you love your teammates the way that those guys love each other, it translates on the ice, on the floor, on the field at a different level, man. Like, you play, well, for whatever reason it is, when you truly care about your teammates the way those guys care about each other and can hold each other accountable, like, you see how they mess around. I mean, it's, you can't put a price tag on what that means, and they have it. Those guys love each other. Those guys are the ones that set the tone. The other thing you love about this team, too, is, I mean, the face of the team now, right? Your best player, the guy who should get MVP votes, Jalen Brunson, like, he is the perfect conduit from Tibbs to this team. Like, all the stuff that Tibbs teaches, like, Jalen, that's who he is. That's what he buys into. So, I mean, it's, you have the perfect coach to best player, which trickles down to the rest of the team, and now you're seeing the result of it. And I got to tell you, man, the other positive through this whole thing, if it ends up being a positive, like, my fingers crossed, because, you know, it almost feels like what would have been an amazing season kind of got, you know, piece by piece ripped away a little bit. You know, as we're sitting there talking, they go through this run in January where they're 14-2. We're like, oh my God, we could get the 2 seed.
Right.
And then players just one by one start going down. Is, you know, when Mitch comes back, when OG comes back, and I do think that Julius is going to come back. Like, why else wouldn't you have got the surgery unless you're going to do whatever you can to try to come back? And even if you, like, let's just see how long it lasts when I do come back, and then we can get surgery if it doesn't work. Like, the fact that you got no wear and tear in their legs right now. Right, so these other guys are taking the brunt of this, right? Because they got to get, you know, got to win basketball games. So Josh is playing a lot. Even Deucey's playing a ton now. The physicality that, you know, Jalen takes on a nightly basis. But you got a fresh Julius Randle coming back, fresh Mitch, you know, fresh OG coming back and trying to make this run through the playoffs. I mean, it could end up being a positive. But again, you got to get those guys back first.
Well, and that's the thing. And Tibbs said before the game that right now, out of the three guys, it seems like Mitch is the one who is the closest to return, which is a little concerning because a week ago, OG was playing.
Right.
Right? I mean, OG started this West Coast trip. He played the first couple of games. And now all of a sudden, you're telling me Mitchell Robinson is going to be the first guy to return. And, you know, OG did some light shooting at the shoot-around. That's great. But now does that mean he's taken a wrong turn and we're not going to see him maybe for the rest of the regulars? I mean, you have to almost think worst-case scenario because, as we talked about yesterday, it's an injury-prone player, right? And the only way this whole thing is going to fire like you want it to as a Knicks fan is if these guys are healthy. You know, if you don't get this whole group back, I don't see how you can make any sort of legitimate argument that this team could take down the Boston Celtics.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, this is the beauty of the playoffs. You know, Boston's best versus our best, if we don't have OG and Julius Randle or we don't have one of those guys, I'm hard-pressed to think best on best that we beat Boston four times. But with the amount of pressure on Boston, some of their late-game execution stuff, I mean, maybe you have a chance if you're fully healthy. I actually think you do have a pretty decent chance if you're fully healthy and Julius Randle is, you know, what we see from Julius Randle when he's healthy in the regular season. If we get that version of Julius Randle, the one thing I'll say about OG, because I'm with you, I'm stunned that Mitchell Robinson's going to be the first one back. Like, I didn't even think he was, I mean, we were trying to get an exemption. Like, right. No one even thought he was coming back, and now he might be the first one back. I think with the OG thing, I think as you come back post-surgery and he ends up, you know, going in for that steal, like, it's so hard, right? You try to do all the, you know, he's been cleared for contact. Well, practice contact is different than game contact, right? Like, you're not overexerting yourself. Like, I'm not going to go for the steal that, you know, he gets himself hurt on against DeAndre Ayton in practice. Like, why would I do that? It makes no sense to him in practice, but you get into a game and you get competitive. You make a move that you normally would. Now, all of a sudden, we got some inflammation in his elbow. I think they saw how easily, when he jumped back, like how seamless it was again when he jumped back in. And they're like, why would we mess with it? Like, this is the last thing we want is for him to start tweaking it every game or every two games and we lose him for two games. Let's make sure this thing calms down. He's fine. Like, once we get him back, let's make sure we keep him back so we don't have to rush him. And then the Julius thing is, I'm sure they probably have something at this point. You would think that they have a date circled where this is the amount of games we got to get him back to have, you know, have him at his best once the postseason starts. We'll see if this can actually work as we head into the postseason.
It's funny you mentioned Boston, too, because last night, I mean, they're going to have these, like every team is going to have these games every so often. And maybe, you know, they get it out of their system before the playoffs start. Did you see what happened to the Celtics last night? They had a 30-point lead, 30-0 in Atlanta against the Hawks, and they lost.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, it's the dog days of the NBA regular season. I get it. And that's the one of the things that you had to guard against last night for the Knicks. And even as you could be the biggest Knicks fan there was probably at least that little bit of you that probably dreaded going up against the Pistons team that was essentially G Leaguers out there, that you just hoped that they wouldn't go through the motions and mail one in and maybe have to sweat it out. And they didn't. That game was over in the first quarter last night. It was over.
Yeah, well, he made six threes. I mean, he held them to 17 points. They had no one. I mean, that's another game where they were playing without Cunningham. Like, they had a bunch of guys out, and there was no reason to make that a close game. You didn't have to. Like, it could be a night where you go out, have some, you know, make sure you take care of business early, have some fun later.
But that's what good teams do, right? I mean, that's what good teams do. Put teams away that you should. Don't give them even an ounce of belief that they can maybe pull an upset. You know, Jaden Ivey and, you know, Buddy Boeheim and Evan Fournier, you know, that's a team you should destroy. Which, by the way, and look, Tibbs has done a great job. I do have one bone to pick with Tibbs, though, if you'll allow me to.
Keeps his guys in too long?
Well, I mean, that's you know, what day doesn't end in why, right?
Okay.
But late in the game, I think it was like late third quarter, Knicks are up by 20-something. What is he doing challenging calls? I mean, what are we doing? Slowing the game down for 10 minutes at a time.
Man.
Yeah, but come on. Ray, you with me? Ray, you with me on that one? You were in the building, too.
What do you want me to say? That he's wrong for challenging the call? This again, like you said, this is Tom Thibodeau. He's not going to not challenge it.
No.
Same way that he's not going to have key players up by 20-something points late in the game.
Didn't Monty do one as well? I thought he challenged. Right, yes. So both of them, like, the game was over.
Tibbs used both of his.
What are we doing?
Yep.
This is who he is, man. He does not take a play off. He's true to his word, man. That's how he coaches, too. Do not take a play off. He will not let the score of a game dictate how he coaches.
Ray sent
It's not even about the score of the game. It's that he views that a game is never really over until you get to a certain point. So even if he's up like 25 with like 5 minutes left, he's experienced games that can turn on a dime, and he's not willing to take that chance.
Ray, you sent a great little text last night with the two screenshots, one of like David Fizdale from back in the day. And it had the score bug, and the Knicks were down by like 30, and Fizz is like giggling or laughing or smiling or whatever. And then on the bottom, it was Tibbs from last night. Knicks are up, you know, 25, and he's got a scowl on his face.
If looks could kill.
That's how it is.
You got to love him, though, man.
But again, I'm grateful for that because I remember what it was like when that Fizdale stuff was going on.
Oh, we remember quite well.
Every Knicks fan should be grateful. Even the Knicks fans that trash Tibbs every chance they get. No, this is a good thing. This is a good thing.
Shout out Lance Thomas. Hey, from superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Knicks win. They go to Toronto tomorrow to take on the lowly Raptors, who couldn't even beat the Nets last night. What is this, 10 or 11 in a row in the L column for Toronto?
I'm gonna have to check.
This is 11 in a row.
Perfect. Let's make it 12.
And oh, by the way, now they have a player, as we spent so much time over the last several days talking about Shohei Ohtani and his gambling exploits or lack thereof. Now there is a player on the Toronto Raptors, Jante Porter, who
Michael
is now
Porter's,
being
Michael
looked,
Porter's brother, by the
Michael
way.
Michael Porter's brother. He's not a junior, by the way, just Jante Porter. Now being looked into because he is the subject of a possible gambling investigation, but involving prop bets and his own personal performance in some of these games.
Right.
Rick, are you surprised by this, by the way?
No. No. It's only going to get worse. What was I reading yesterday? It's funny because we had the Ohtani stuff. So he gets accused, and we'll hear from Ohtani later. He finally addressed the media. So it's the $4.5 million. Not on his sport, though. They didn't bet on baseball.
By the way, that new interpreter stole the show yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Stole the show.
We got J.B. Bickerstaff talking about how he's been threatened by sports bettors. You had Halliburton talking about he feels like he's a prop.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jante Porter being investigated for actually betting on his own props.
Yeah. And it was a little suspicious that all this money came flooding in on certain days where, you know, whatever the under numbers were supposed to be with him, you know, 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds. And yet every one of these games, it seemingly the under would come through.
Well, he would leave the game.
Right. And then he would leave the game. You know, I don't feel well. You know, my head hurts. My elbow hurts. And it would be too coincidental where finally the antennas went up with the NBA. And it's like, oh, wait a second. This isn't right. And look, even with the Ohtani, and this just kind of circles back to it. Everybody that says, well, they got to get out of this league's got to get... No, 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 no. It's never going to happen. I mean, they can have these people suspended, thrown out of the game for life, but they're not going to abandon the partnerships that they've created with these gambling sites and stuff because, Rick, guess what? The money keeps rolling in for these leagues.
Yeah, it's too much money. And not only the money, dude, it's just the interest in the sport, right? Like, you're trying to find ways to get people involved, invested in not just their own teams, right? That's sure. The beauty of what the NFL has. Like, Dave has said this before, like, with the other sports, if his team's not good, the interest in that sport kind of wanes a little bit. But in football, it doesn't matter if your team's good or bad. You're going to watch every, like Dave is watching every game. I'm watching every game. You're watching every game. There's a lot of people with their fantasy teams or betting on games. They're watching all these games. The other sports don't necessarily have that, right? Like if an Islander, like a lot of Islander fans, if your team's not doing well, I mean, how much more NHL hockey are you watching? If the Yankees or Mets stink, how much more Major League Baseball are you really watching? And if you're betting on the games, right, you're watching. Like if you're John Winthrop, and you have a parlay because he loves his parlays.
He's a big parlay guy.
Loves the
parlays. By the way, happy birthday, John Winthrop.
That's why I brought him up.
Ah, look at you. Took 23 minutes, but he got a happy birthday shout out. Happy birthday, John. Our good buddy, John Winthrop.
He looks damn good, doesn't he?
He looks fantastic.
He really does.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to get him for his birthday? I'm going to get him a three-quarter zip that actually fits properly. That's what I'm going to do for him. I'm going to get him one that's not a crop top, that actually covers like the entirety of his stomach.
Well, what if you go half zip? Because there is the half zip option, not just the three-quarter zip.
I think he prefers, RJ, right? He prefers, he's a three-quarter zip guy.
Some things are bigger than what's happening on the gridiron.
Oh, yeah, really, really big three-quarter or quarter zip guy. Yeah.
Loves him.
Now, you took a shot at it.
Delicious.
What was that?
Super delicious. That's one of his videos.
Super delicious.
Oh.
All right, have some more.
That's John on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know
doing,
that.
Yeah, he was doing vlogs. Yeah. You never saw his vlogs?
We are making Rice Krispie Treats Mickey style.
We have Mickey style. We have John's future aspirations.
I actually wanted to be a paleontologist.
Yeah.
right out of Jurassic Park.
Ross is what he wanted to be.
Right. He strikes me as a guy who would be a paleontologist because I've known John for 20 years. And yeah, he fits it to a T.
Right. If said paleontologist could go like excavate Disney.
Right. If you could dig up dinosaur bones, you know, at Epcot Center,
right, correct.
You do it.
Exactly right. Yeah, loves it.
Well, happy birthday to John, though. Is he going to make an appearance today? Are we going to see him at all or no?
He better.
I think he's in a lot of high-leverage meetings today.
Oh, that's right. Today's a high-leverage meeting.
Yeah, a lot.
Because we tried to get the meal going, and that didn't happen.
He said, I'm too busy for you.
I was in for the meal, too. One of the few meals I was in for. And he's like,
I know, because normally you big-time us when it comes to the meal.
I don't big-time you. I just try to avoid as much traffic as possible.
What
animals have me sitting in 2.5 hours of traffic when I leave that late?
Don't you have the helicopter on the roof that you just take to get out of here?
No, I don't have a helicopter on the roof. That would be nice, though.
I told you 10 years ago to buy a helicopter.
You did. You were smart. Where am I landing that thing?
I don't know. But it was like within the first like few months of meeting Rick, he's like, I got so much traffic, I got an answer for you. You're a man of means? Use it. What's the point of having bleep you money.
Stay out of my pockets.
Yeah, if you don't say it once in a while, bleep you traffic.
Listen, there's a rooftop around here somewhere.
Well, that's what I mean. There's a rooftop on this building. What's wrong with that? Like, why can't he just park it there?
At this point, you've been walking around the city. Who needs a rooftop? I blend that thing right in Columbus Circle.
That's a fair point.
I mean, I watched some guy take a poop in a bucket the other day.
You could pick him up.
Seems about right.
Give him a ride.
Did he nail it? Did he land the plane right in the bucket?
Well, yeah, he sat right on the bucket.
Oh, I thought it was like a standing up thing.
No, he was carrying. He was taking. It was his own bucket.
What did you think he was doing it over the ledge?
Yeah, I thought it was like skydiving.
No, he had his own toilet with him. He's walking with the bucket and then just sat down right in the corner. And take a quick one.
Well, there's a lot of room in Lincoln Center, right in the courtyard there. It's a perfect place for one.
Just put the chopper right down.
Now, you can't fly it, though, can you? You're going to have to hire somebody.
No,
my
dad can fly it. My dad flew
really?
Helicopters, yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
You get him on the payroll?
If I had a helicopter, maybe.
Can't you lease one?
I'm not going to lease a helicopter. I'm not going to do any of that.
Think about all the meals you could come out to if you have the helicopter.
Yeah, I could. Every single meal, yeah. We could take the helicopter to wherever you guys wanted to go.
I know. I'd be a little bit leery to get in the helicopter.
Stop it, please.
No, I'm serious. I've never been in a helicopter.
My dad's an excellent pilot. Jump right in.
It's got nothing to do with your father. I don't care who's flying it. I just have some reservations about going in a helicopter.
Well, I think it's important who's flying it. What do you mean? Who cares who's flying it?
Well, I don't care if you get like the most decorated pilot maybe in the Army. I have little hesitation about getting up in an helicopter.
Right, but that makes a big difference. Like if we walk out and it's my dad who flew helicopters in Vietnam, or it's Steve Hart, I'm going to feel more comfortable with my dad flying a helicopter.
Could you imagine Steve Hart flying a helicopter?
No.
I would not recommend that.
And I love Steve Hart to no end.
He would have a flight attendant passing around front to Thousand Island Dressing.
It's sad that we all have the same thought.
As a soup.
Sad.
Beautiful appetizer.
You want to explain that one to me?
You never heard that one?
Oh, wow.
Apparently, it was I actually got a text from Steve. It was Italian dressing. So this was Thanksgiving, correct, Raymond?
It was a big gathering, family
It was a big gathering, and they had ordered food in.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, he thought that the Italian dressing that was for the salads was soup.
That's somehow worse.
So he heated up the Italian dressing and passed it out as soup for dinner, a little appetizer. Yep.
This is the first time you've heard this story.
This is the first time I heard this story. Wait, how long ago was this?
This is a long time ago. This is one of Dave's favorite stories of all time.
I think this story was told like when we first came on the air.
I'm not here, by the way. I'm not here if not for Steve Hart. I love the man. I am not here.
Well, I love him too, but it's just one of those stories you have to tell.
No, that's tremendous. It absolutely is tremendous. But happy birthday to John Winthrop. That's how we started this. We went from happy birthday to John to helicopters to Steve Hart heating up Italian dressing to right here and now. And we say hi to Stamatis in Astoria. It's always good to catch up with him. Good morning, Stamatis.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Outstanding. What's going on?
That makes me outstanding as well. Thank you. I'm calling because I want to bring up the subject of Tom Thibodeau being coach of the year. I mean, I know we just beat up on Detroit, but this guy is just, I don't know how he keeps pulling wins out. Half a team. Any other coach in the league would have been basically given a free pass of having a 500 season with all the injuries he's had. You know, I just wanted to bring that up and your take on that. And before I let you guys cut me off, I just wanted to ask your opinion on something baseball related. I don't know if you guys saw the new rule where you can't block the
base. Oh, we saw it.
The obstruction, yeah.
My God, man, what is that? Like, how are you supposed to play? If you're a catcher, you know, I coached Little League for many, many years. And I caught myself. But it's like if you're a catcher and you're throwing absolute dime the second, and they're just going to call them safe because your guy's not straddling the bag correctly? Is that correct? Am I hearing that right?
Well, I mean, doesn't that happen at home plate, too, with the blocking the plate rule at home? It's the same thing. So you can have a perfect throw. And Stamatis, thanks a lot for the phone call. Rick, you can have a perfect throw to the plate, beats the runner by an hour, essentially. But if the catcher or the guy at second base, whatever bag is not positioned properly, they can get him for obstruction. And not only that, managers are using that as a challenge to try to see if they can get the call reversed.
Well, we just saw it. Dave and I talked about this last week. You saw the Lindor play.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be one of those ones, too, where they used to do this to us in the NHL all the time, where they would have a rule that they wanted enforced early. Like, this is something that we're going to focus on, and the officials would be like, hey, listen, fellas, this is going to get called a lot just because we're trying to change the behavior early in the season. So, yeah, there's going to be. I think there's probably going to be plenty of plays early in the season that are going to piss you off.
And the problem is not a lot of people are locked into spring training. So even the Lindor episode last week, probably a lot of people aren't even up to date as to what happened there. And they're going to see something like that unfold in the first couple of weeks of the regular season, to your point. And they're going to lose their you-know-what. But, yep. Hey, get used to it. Because, you know, we've already seen this happen a lot over the last couple of years since they put this rule in. It's a joke. But welcome to baseball 2024.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at at DR on ESPN.
Last day of the league meetings taking place today down in Florida. The NFC coaches are going to hold court in the old breakfast room. So you'll hear from Brian Daboll coming up a little over an hour. So we'll turn that sound around for you like we did yesterday with Robert Saleh. But we also heard from John Mara, from Joe Shane, the other powers that be with the Giants. And we'll get to what they had to say coming up in just a bit. But interesting comments, Richard, from the owner of the New York Jets about Zach Wilson. Now, everybody expects that Zach Wilson's going to be playing someplace else next year. Joe Douglas essentially said that at his end-of-season press conference, that, you know, a fresh start is probably beneficial to both sides. And obviously, the quarterback market, the way it's unfolded, it seems like Zach Wilson, if it's a game of musical chairs, that the music has stopped and he's still standing without a seat, that there's really no place for him right now, and the Jets have not been able to work out a deal for him. So here was the Jet owner talking about, indeed, that is the plan.
You know, if we don't trade him, we're going to keep him. So it's possible that he could do it here. From his standpoint, it's probably better if he changes faces and gets to a new place and he can wipe the slate clean.
Now, Jets Twitter lost their collective you-know-what yesterday when that comment started to make the rounds, that if we don't trade him, we're going to keep him. I'll ask you this question, even though you don't have a helicopter. What are the percent chance that you give that Zach Wilson is on this roster when training camp opens?
I'm hoping 0%.
Not hoping. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, you got to tell me. I mean, answer me this question before I answer your question. Mm-hmm. I mean, was this just like a last-ditch effort from Woody?
Last-ditch effort of what?
To get someone to actually try to trade for him so they don't have to release him for nothing?
No,
I don't
think
that's what teams are hoping.
But I don't think that's benefiting you if that was indeed the plan, because you're basically then mortgaging whatever type of leverage you have in that situation, because you're basically this.
Well, no.
He's telling the world. He's like, guys, we want to trade Zach Wilson. We haven't found a trading partner yet. Please help us. What team's going to bend over backwards?
Well,
do the Jets a favor.
No. But you're missing the point here, right? So, I mean, this is something they gave him. I mean, we were talking about this before the show started, right? Like, it wasn't that Joe just said it. I think they told Zach he can actively go look to get traded. Like, they were going to trade him. Zach fully expects to be traded to be on a different team. If there's no team out there because of how much money he makes, they don't want to take on that money, think, yeah, we'd like Zach Wilson, but we don't want to trade anything for him. We'll just wait till they inevitably have to release him. So if Woody's saying now, well, we're not going to release him. So if you want him, come get him. Otherwise, he'll be a Jet. That's what I mean. They don't have any leverage. Everyone knows they want to trade him. I'm just saying, for one of those teams that maybe is thinking about, hey, I could work with Zach Wilson. I would like to, once they cut him, we would consider taking him on. If they're not going to cut him, maybe we have to give something up to get him.
You know what might have to happen? Seriously. Just like what we saw with the free agent market, with pitching, for example, with baseball. They might have to take this thing into the spring, into the summer, like mini camps, OTAs. And if a club were to suffer an injury at the quarterback position,
yeah,
that's when they pick up the phone and they call Joe Douglas and say, hey, we need some help. And that's when you get a trade done for Zach Wilson. So if you're asking me, I'll actually put it at least 50-50 that when camp opens in late July, he still might be a New York Jet. I know fans don't want to hear that, but that might be the reality, because they're just not going to release him. That's an $11 million dead cap hit for the Jets. They are not going to absorb that type of money to just send this guy on his merry way. They want to be able to get something for him.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though. And I think this is probably the problem with Zach is he's divisive. Right. I mean, there are people that are just Zach truthers that he can't, like, it's not Zach's fault. And then there are other people that are like, okay, it's time to move on from Zach. I think the biggest fear for most Jets fans is that you have a 40-year-old quarterback coming back from an Achilles, right? And you have a backup quarterback that also has not shown the ability to stay healthy. So God forbid Zach ends up being the third quarterback. Aaron goes down at some point. Tyrod goes down, and we're going to see Zach Wilson playing for the Jets again.
That's their worst fears.
Yes.
Because then it's a repeat of last year, essentially.
That's right.
And look, here's the, and you made a good point, like, with Zach. This era of Jets football, when I say this era, like, the last 5 years, for example, right? We all know they're getting new uniforms, right? So, like, in this uniform, which they've had for 5 years, Adam Gase used to be the poster boy for it. Like, when you think about, like, who is the face of these last 5 years of the Jets, like, Adam Gase was that guy.
Yep.
Because things went spectacularly wrong. He wasn't a popular hire to begin with, but then they didn't produce in those couple of years he was on the job, so then he became the blame guy. The introductory press conference with all the memes and all those things. But in the last few years, Zach Wilson has kind of taken over that mantle. So, like, now you think of Jets football 2019 to 2023, Zach Wilson's the poster child and the failure of a number two pick that didn't live up to expectations. Now, was Zach given a difficult hand? Yes. Did he go out there and play well? No. Did some of the criticism he bring onto himself with maybe some of the comments he made along the way? Yeah, absolutely. But it wasn't exactly the easiest of situations. Last year, nothing went the way that it was supposed to. And yeah, I do agree that when Woody Johnson says, and everybody, you know, Joe Douglas, whoever it was, that last year was supposed to be a redshirt season for him. Okay, great. But he was forced into the role of playing, and he just didn't respond. And in the NFL, it's a bottom line business. You either produce or they're going to go find somebody else who can. And he didn't get it done. And I don't know. Look, Rick, I don't know if he goes someplace else and has that change of scenery. I don't know if he's ever going to grow into somebody who was taken second overall and live up to those expectations. I have no idea.
Right. But I think that I forget who said this. It might have been Ryan Clark who says this. He says, you know, Ryan Clark, I think, was undrafted, correct? I'm pretty sure Ryan Clark was undrafted. Whatever it was.
Was drafted.
Okay, wherever he was drafted, undrafted, you know, late round pick, whatever it was.
He's undrafted. Okay, so I stand corrected. Good job.
All right, so his mindset always was, I have to prove to people I can play.
Mm-hmm.
When you get drafted that high in the draft, you know, first, second, third, overall, or you're a first round pick, you have to prove to people that you can't play. Like those guys, because of where they were drafted, because of all this potential that people think that they do have, the skill set and everything else, people will always think, I can fix him. So Zach Wilson at some point is going to get another opportunity, I think, just because he's so talented. There'll be some, you know, offensive, you know, Sean McVay type that says, you know, with that skill set, I can fix him. He can learn with me. Problem with the whole Zach Wilson thing is, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, how hard that transition is, right? And you had Mike LaFleur, who's walking out the building, say, yeah, we probably rushed him. In hindsight, he wasn't ready. So that could be one of the things that you point to, because I'm a firm believer in this. Just having gone through a, you know, similar situation myself, how important it is when you're that young, that impressionable, don't know what you don't know, probably, you know, mentally not really ready for that jump, like the situation that you put into, the veterans that you have around you, the help you have around you.
Right.
And he would have benefited. Yeah, right. Like last year, if that was his first year, we might have a different conversation right now if he actually had a veteran in front of him. And it's not just on the field stuff. It's how you study. It's how you interact with teammates. Because that was one of the things that I don't think he did a really good job of doing. Was creating those relationships with his teammates. Like everyone used to say, like I would ask questions to people I know, like, is Zach a bad guy? They're like, no, he's a good guy. He's just not one of the guys. Right? Like Mike White was one of the guys. And that's why you saw them with the t-shirts on. They wanted to play for him. And that's not something that's something that sometimes you have to learn. Like, how do I become one of the guys? Because at that quarterback position, it's a natural position of leadership. And it's also when you're the second overall pick, like you're treated a little bit different. And you got to make sure you go out of your way to make the guys feel like, hey, I'm just one of the guys. And I got to earn my stripes. And, you know, hopefully, you know, if he does get an opportunity, he's realized that, he's learned that, and he'll find a way to make it work. But it's not going to be with the Jets.
So what you're saying is that Zach could have benefited from having an Alexei Yashin type in the locker room.
No, I benefit from having a Steve Webb. Steve Webb took me into, I lived with Steve Webb my first year.
So Yashin, bad guy?
No, Yashin, good guy. But there are certain veterans, you know this, you wagon, that there are certain guys that just they for whatever reason, because a veteran took them under their wing or whatever it is, they're really good with young guys.
All right, to your point, and I was going to bring this up, and he kind of beat me to the punch. 2 years ago, when everything started to blow up a little bit for Zach, right? We had that game up in New England where offense didn't do anything, and he made the comments after the game, which seemed to, you know, have stayed with him since, about, do you take any responsibility for the offensive shortcomings? He said no. And then he kind of like lost the room, and then it became Mike White, Mike White, Mike White. I said this last year when he was thrust into playing after Aaron went down. And I said, let me just preface this by saying, I don't know if this is going to make any damn difference on the field. I don't know if the results are going to be any different. But all I can tell you is, as somebody who's in that room pretty consistently, who has relationships with a lot of people in that room, right? I saw with my own eyes, and speaking to Zach at least, this was a different guy in the locker room in 2023 versus 2022. Now, unfortunately, it didn't yield any returns on the field, and that's all the team cares about. That's all the fan base should care about. But there was a little bit of that maturation and growth away from the football field. But the Jets still need to find somebody who can go out there and help them win football games. And I don't think that he is that guy. You know, like you just say, the ship has sailed. And this happens all the time in sports. It doesn't matter if a guy is good. It, you know, he can be a talent. He can be an all-star. He may have done it in his career and proven that he could play. But sometimes the situations are just wrong for players, right?
Yeah.
I mean, then again, you just got to get them out of that. It's like, how many pitchers over the years, for example, like did the Yankees have or the Mets have? Or guys that were all-stars previously, they come to New York and they spit the bit. Right? Sonny Gray, for example. Sonny Gray couldn't pitch here with the Yankees, but he was an all-star with the Oakland A's before he came here. He goes to Cincinnati. He has a fantastic season. St. Louis signs him to be almost like the ace of their staff now. Just get him out of New York. It's almost a situation like that, except I don't know if Zach is ever going to be able to leave that imprint somewhere in the league. It's just not going to happen with this team.
No, it's absolutely not going to happen with this team. He needs a reset. I mean, the Jets need to... I mean, you just mentioned who the face of kind of the failure has been now, is pivoted from, you know, Adam Gase to now Zach Wilson, another, I mean, the fact that we...
And maybe, and Rick, maybe that's not fair.
Well, it's not, but you're the quarterback. You're the face of the franchise. You're the second overall pick after we had just failed with the third overall pick, which makes it even worse. That the third overall pick didn't work, we didn't handle that properly, and now we have the second overall pick, and now that doesn't work. And now we're putting all our eggs in a 40-year-old basket, coming off an Achilles.
Right.
That's what pissed me off about last year, though, Dan, is if you're going to commit to a redshirt season... Commit to the redshirt season. If you don't think he was ready because he did not have the ability to sit behind a savant like Aaron Rodgers when his career first started, and you were committed to trying to make this work, then make sure he was going to have a redshirt season. Even if Aaron goes down, we're not comfortable putting him in because he's still not ready. Find someone else to play. That's why it bothered me, and I know you're right, that there weren't a lot of backup quarterbacks banging down the Jets' door to sit behind Aaron Rodgers because they just figured we're never going to get a chance to play. Right? Like, I mean... Gardner Minshew, how come he went to Indianapolis? Well, he has a relationship with Shane Steichen, and on top of that, you know, they got a rookie quarterback. So he's got to feel, you know, he obviously feels like he's got a better chance to win. Guy's an athletic guy, and it turns out he was right. So why am I going to go sit behind Aaron Rodgers?
Right.
So you're right, but still, like, once he went down, I would have liked to see them pivot and make sure that Zach didn't see the field, but he did prove to everyone that, you know, it wasn't going to work, that it wasn't going to get fixed here, and now... You know, hopefully at the end of this, they find a trade partner, but it doesn't feel like that's going to happen either.
All right. Want to hear from Jet fans at 800-919-3776. Your reaction to the Woody Johnson comments that if we can't trade him, we're not going to release him. Did you ever allow yourself to entertain the possibility that Zach Wilson would still be on this roster once next football season rolls around? Speaking of that last year, Rick, where it was supposed to be that redshirt season,
yep.
Here was Woody talking about that yesterday.
You know, Zach, you know, I feel badly about Zach in some ways because, you know, last year would have been a first time he could just sit back and watch a master at work. And he's never had that. He's been in the fire from day one. And I think that's what he needs. He needs to be in a place where he can observe for a while. He's got the skill. He can do everything. There's a reason we drafted him at number two overall. I have confidence that he'll get there at some point.
I'm surprised they haven't been able to work something out to where, and this might have to happen, like the Jets might have to attach a draft pick to Zach Wilson to be able to trade him someplace to then get a conditional pick in return. But the Jets don't have a lot of draft capital to begin with for this year. I know they got the few compensatory ones, sixth and seventh round, but, you know, is that really going to do a hell of a lot to entice a team to take Zach Wilson off your shoulders? I don't know.
No, I think there's a lot of teams or whatever the teams that are interested in potentially bringing Zach in are like, they're going to have to release him. No one's gonna bend over backwards to try to get this a deal done for Zach Wilson.
I really think you might be looking at a scenario like I outlined before that it might have to warrant another. Ironically enough, right? Ironically, in a year like last season where he only got put into the into the fire again because Aaron Rodgers goes down, it might take another quarterback somewhere else around the National Football League getting hurt to be able to solve the Zach Wilson Jets enigma and get him off of this team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the interesting thing. I thought when, you know, the timing of when the Bears decided to trade Justin Fields. I know they're trying to do right by him, and he's in a good spot. But, like, I mean, you waited this long. The market wasn't what you thought. Wouldn't it have been better to wait when, like, inevitably one of these quarterbacks was going to get hurt? I mean, how many quarterbacks got hurt? Last year was the year of the backup quarterback, you know? But they made that decision. I don't know, man. It's just, I mean, what he said, though, I think is one of the most important things is, and what happens to a lot of young players, when you struggle early, especially at this position, be in the face of the franchise, second overall pick. Like, there's always this, whenever you're drafted that high, you're supposed to be the savior of the franchise, right? Like, he's going to save us. And when it doesn't work early and you struggle early, it's tough to come out of that because you're constantly in the fire. So once you go down that road where you start questioning, you know, can I do this? And with the whole, and I think one of the things he got himself into trouble with was that, you know, he was trying to beat into his head, make the simple play, make the simple play, make the easy play. Don't make the mistake. When that's how you're being coached and you're trying to consistently avoid mistakes, you end up making mistakes. You can't play like that.
Right.
You can't play timid. You can't play slow. It starts spiraling and you can't get out of it. And the worst part is you can't get out of the fire, and there's always the pressure where you can't afford to make a mistake, and that is not a place to be and try to have success when you're struggling the way that Zach was struggling.
All right, let me throw some names at you right now. Like in the event some team needs a quarterback,
yep,
hell or high water for whatever reason, let me give you some of the names that technically are still out on the market, and this would stand as a speed bump to maybe a club having interest in Zach Wilson, because remember, you still have to deal with a contract too. He's still on the books. Ryan Tannehill's still available.
Yep.
He could win you games, okay? And I'm sure that Tannehill probably thought that maybe he would find some place, an opportunity to maybe get some playing time. He's probably thinking the same thing we are. Like, somebody's going to get injured, and then that team's going to call me, a la Joe Flacco, and I'm going to come in and possibly have a chance to contribute. Brian Hoyer, Nate Sudfeld, Blaine Gabbert, Carson Wentz, Trevor Siemian, A.J. McCarron, Matt Barkley, Logan Woodside, Felipe Franks, and Garrett Gilbert. So that is what you're looking at right now. And remember, there's going to be guys that are drafted that are going to be on some team's roster, maybe even open the year as the number three, that because of injuries, they might have to play. You're also going to have undrafted quarterbacks that sign somewhere that, who knows, might be able to author a story for themselves. I think that, I'll ask you this question before I even say it. The perception of Zach Wilson around the league. Forget about the talent. Forget about what made him the number two overall pick. Do you think that the general perception from talent evaluators and clubs around the rest of the NFL is that Zach Wilson is quote-unquote toxic?
No.
I would agree on that. Because I'm just thinking of ways that would stand in the way for a team to take a shot at him.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's not even taking a shot at him. I think that most teams, if not all teams, have the same mindset with him that the Jets were supposed to have last season, where he needs a year off. He needs to learn. And on top of that, I think the reason why he's not viewed as toxic around the NFL is because there's probably not a lot of people that think that the Jets handled his development the right way. And on top of that, raise your hand if you think a vast majority of the NFL feels like Nathaniel Hackett is a good offensive coordinator.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, we can fix him, but there's still a ton of bad habits we got to coach out of him. We got to teach him. I think the other thing that's probably not real attractive about Zach right now is with these guys like McVay and Shanahan, they spend hours and hours and hours game planning, coming up with plays, right? The sequence of plays, how they want it run. And when Zach feels most comfortable playing outside of the system, like, that's when he's at his best. It's not like, here's the play, here's the timing, put the ball, you know, where it needs to be, and let's keep this thing moving. It's like, he likes when the play breaks down. There's not a lot of offensive gurus that like a quarterback that plays like that. And that's kind of where Zach is right now. So, like, Ryan Tannehill would be the one. Hey, I lost my quarterback. I need to win games. This guy can run my offense. Here's the plays. Run them. He can do that. I don't know if Zach is ready to do that right now.
Well, I know one team, for example, the Denver Broncos. You figure they're going to draft a quarterback here at some point next month. They've got Jared Stidham on their roster right now. So that, and Sean Payton, somebody with an ego who thinks he could get through to any quarterback, that would seem like an eventual landing spot or a possible landing spot, depending on what they do next month with the draft, like I said. So I would keep my eyes on Denver. We'll take your calls on this when we come back at 800-919-3776. Also get into some of the comments made by the Giant Brass. Brian Daboll's going to talk in the next hour as well. DNR on a Tuesday. It is Dan and Rick, 98.7 ESPN. And now a word from True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.